Wow, thank you so much. What an awesome time of worship, amen? I hope that you guys worshiped at home as well. Now, it's so important for us to get connected with the Holy Spirit, get connected with God, amen? And so I hope that every Sunday you have been worshiping in your homes. Don't be distracted by your children or the coffee or what to cook for lunch. Be focused on God's presence, amen? So I just want to thank Pastor once again for the opportunity to come and minister to your homes. I hope that you will open your hearts to receive what God has to say this morning. So let's just quickly say a word of prayer before we start. Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that as I minister your word today, that you will speak so clearly to your people. Father, I pray that the hearts of your people will be open to receive what you have to say. And I pray, God, that the word will be so clear and that people's heart will be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there was this young man, he's about 24, 25 years old, and he was in a train with his dad. And as they were going in the train, he looks out the window and he gets really excited. He said, "Dad, look at those trees. They're just rushing by us." And then the dad just smiles. And then there's a couple that watches them and they just look curiously. And then suddenly he sees clouds going by and he goes, "Look, Dad, the clouds are running past us. So cool." And the dad smiles again. So this couple, they say, "Sir, why don't you take your son, you know, he's quite grown up now, take him to a good doctor. They will help him." And he said, "Yeah, I did. My son was blind this morning and now he has eyes for the first time." We tend to judge people just by looking at the outward appearance. But aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? Aren't you glad that God looks at our heart? God sees our every being from the inside and out. Amen? I am sure glad for that. I just want to talk to you about the importance of having the Holy Spirit with us. And I was talking to Pastor Stephen recently about life and, you know, our Christian walk and different things that we are going through and all that. And we came to the conclusion that, you know what, we can talk the Christian talk. We can walk the Christian walk. We can read our Bibles every day. We can pray every day religiously. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot reach the full potential of our calling. And I truly believe that. And even the past few weeks, Pastor David has been going on about the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, why the Holy Spirit is so important. And Pastor David said this last week. The Holy Spirit brings us into fellowship with Him, with God. The Holy Spirit brings us into fellowship with Him. So today's topic is drenched with the Holy Spirit. To be drenched, to be soaked. Now, who likes to dip my biscuit into the Milo and stir it up until it's soaking and then you eat it and it's like, I love doing that. Even putumayam, I love to pour all the curry on top and just drench the putumayam in curry and then eat it. Now I'm making you hungry. But drenched, to be drenched with the Holy Spirit. And the text is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, where basically the story is about Samuel anointing David. And this story is so interesting. I've been talking to the children's church as well about this story and why it's so important. What can we learn from Samuel anointing David? So what happened was Samuel is a well-renowned prophet of God. Samuel comes to Bethlehem. Everyone knows about it. Everyone hears about it. And they're excited and nervous. They don't know why is Samuel coming to their little town. And Samuel says he wants to go to the house of Jesse. Now, the reason is because Saul had disobeyed God, and now God had asked Samuel to look for a new king to anoint. God knew who was supposed to be anointed, but he just told Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. Now, Jesse gets excited. He gets almost all his sons prepared to receive from Samuel. he gets 7 of his sons out to receive from Samuel. So Samuel goes from one to another and he looks at them and he's like, oh my goodness. Wow, we are going to be blessed with a mighty king. Look at them. They're big and strong. But each son that he goes to, God says, nope, this is not the one. Next one. No, this is not the one. Next one. No, this is not the one. And he goes on to the very last one. And then Samuel looks at Jesse and he says, is there one more? I'm confused. Is there one more? And Jesse says in verse 11, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. So Samuel was probably frustrated. He's like, you just wasted all my time here. Are you kidding me? But they got David to come. And then God said, this is the one, anoint him. This is the one. And so my first point is, he sees you. God sees you. God saw David in the field. I mean, I can only imagine what was going through David's mind at that time. David loved God. I mean, the Bible says he would play harp and sing praises to God. He would be out there in the field worshiping God. So he probably was thinking, oh, my idol is coming. Samuel the prophet is coming to my home. I can't wait to wear my best clothes and go and see him. But he wasn't invited. He was out in the field when his brothers were at home in front of Samuel about to be anointed. And he was going to miss out on that. I can only imagine how he felt as the little boy. All his big brothers are out there and he is at the field. I can only imagine how he would have felt. But guess what? God saw David. I mean, being a last child, can you imagine? Okay, remember this. When you had your first child, how was it? You were so protective, right? If the child fall down, you would rush the child to the emergency hospital. Okay, let's not even talk about falling down. The pacifier falls down. What do? You take the pacifier up, you put it in hot boiling water, and then you have to wash it with mineral water, and then clean it nicely, and then you give it to your child. Second child, what happens? You wash it with mineral water, then you give it to the child. Third child comes along, wash it with tap water can already lah. Fourth child comes along, just wipe lah. The child will build antibody anyway, right? So, I mean, I don't do that. He probably felt neglected. He probably felt forgotten. He probably felt, oh, God forgot about me. I am out here and I'm alone. No one sees me. But guys, I want you to know that God sees you. God sees you fighting your lions. God sees you fighting your bears. God sees you being stuck with all the sheep. But you know what? God also sees when you lift your hands and when you worship Him. God sees when you cry out to Him in desperation. God sees you. And God is interested in your life. In verse 11, it says, so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending sheep. But he is tending sheep. Now, Pastor Stephen talked about the big buts of the Bible. I think this is a big but as well. But he's tending sheep, lah. But he's busy. He's out there. I think you meant this son? Don't worry. God sees you. You are not neglected. You are not forgotten. You are not at the side just because you are one of the last to become a Christian in your family. Or you are just a new Christian. Ayah, namay lah, just young fellow ni, leave him aside. No, you are part of the family. You're not a castaway. You are part of God's family and He sees you. David was small but handsome. It says he was ruddy. He was handsome, fine appearance. But it says the brothers were big and strong. And Samuel even thought the brothers were the ones. So man looks on the outward appearance. We look on the outward appearance, but God sees more than your outward appearance. God sees what you're going through. He sees everything that you're going through. You may not be a big, like the rock. You may be a Ryan Gosling. Small, but handsome. Small, but you have a heart to serve God. My number two point is He chooses you. So He doesn't just see you out in the field. He doesn't just see your struggles and see you worshiping Him and say, oh, okay, very good, He's worshiping. Good job, good job. Okay, but guess what? He chooses you. Number two, He chooses you. God has picked you up and He said, hey, I want David. He chooses you. And you may feel, oh God, I'm not qualified. I have sin. I have temper. I'm disobedient. I cheat. I'm not qualified. I don't qualify to be in God's presence. I don't qualify to do everything that God has called me to do. No, no, this must be for someone else. It's not for me. But guys, I'm telling you today, God chooses you. He sees you and He's choosing you. Amen. In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophets to the nation. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. He chooses you. What about Rahab? Do you know the story of Rahab? So Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. God chose her to be saved. I mean, the city is huge. There were how many people? God chose her. She was a prostitute, but she was stuck in that rut. Once you're a prostitute, there's no way of getting out anymore. And she was stuck there. But God saw that as an opportunity to reach out to her. She saved the spies, she protected them, and God saved her. And through her came Boaz, Obed, then Jesse, and then David. The line, the descendants, she's the great-great-grandma of David. Who would have thought such a sinful woman would bring forth David down the line? Who would have thought? God has a bigger plan for you. You may not see it right now. You may see, oh no, I'm stuck here. There's no way of getting out of this. This is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. But guess what? God has a bigger plan for you. God's promises are always good. God's promises never fail. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He climbed up that tree to see Jesus. He was desperate. How desperate are you? And guess what? Jesus chose to go to his house. He didn't choose to go to anyone else that was there. There were crowds of people. He chose to go to Zacchaeus' house. A sinful man, a tax collector. Why? Because Zacchaeus was desperate enough to climb the tree. Desperation is not a bad thing. When you are desperate for more of God, when you are desperate for the Holy Spirit, when you are desperate to be drenched by the Holy Spirit, guys, things will start to change. What about that woman, the Samaritan woman at the well? She went there at midday in the hot, hot sun. Why did she go in the midday in the hot, hot sun? I mean, if you've been to a desert, you will not try to go out in the midday sun. It's the worst time to go out. And that's when she went out to get water. Why? Because she didn't want to be confronted by other women from the village. She was married 5 times before, and the one she was with wasn't even her husband. She was living in sin, but she was stuck. But she was desperate. She didn't know what else to do. Jesus chose to meet with her, and through her, the whole village was saved. Jesus met with her. He chose her. So whatever situation you are in today, don't think I'm not qualified. Guess what, guys? God is not limited by your limitations. God does not see, oh, this person is not qualified enough. They have to be more qualified to be a follower of me. For me to use them, they have to be more qualified. No, God is not like that. Aren't you glad? Amen? God can choose you today. And God is looking at our hearts today. Do we have that yearning? Are we desperate for more of Him? Are we desperate to see Him move in our families, in our lives? Are we desperate enough for more of the Holy Spirit? Now, we have a choice. God chooses you, yes. God chooses you. But today, you have a choice. What do you want to choose? Do you want to say, yes, God, I receive your word and I want to make a change in my life? I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to get rid of my sin. I want to make that change. You have a choice as well. Are you ready to make that choice for a change? Are you ready to get rid of things in your life that needs getting rid of? There are some things that will be very hard to cut off from. But guys, God wants us to say yes. See, David could choose. He could choose whether to say, nope, I'm offended. They didn't invite me in the first place. Ah, now come and cari me lah. No need, I don't want. He could have easily been offended. I mean, offense is very easy, right? We can get offended so easily. David could have easily gave in to offense. But he said, no, I want to go. I want to receive from the hand of God. I want to receive my anointing. I want that. I am desperate for that. And he went. At 15 years old, David went and he was anointed by Prophet Samuel. What an honor, because he chose to make the right decision. And number three, he anoints you. So he sees you, he chooses you, and he doesn't just choose you and say, okay, sit here now. That's it. He anoints you. He pours that horn of oil on you and you are drenched in the Holy Spirit. He anoints you. The English Standard Version says, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Oh, I got excited when I saw this. Message translation says this. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, you guys. I mean, I was excited when I saw this. For the rest of his life, from that day forward, God's Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit was on him from that day forward, every day. Whoa! So if you get anointed today by the Holy Spirit, from this day forward, God's favor will be upon you. From that day forward. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do when He comes upon us? Billy Graham said this, the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. You will be wise. You will understand the Word of God. You will crave for more of God. Your minds will take a new turn. I'm sure you've heard of my dad's testimony. How suddenly, I mean, he was a druggie in the past. Took drugs in the past. And then when he asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill him, all of a sudden, everything was washed away. He would read the Word of God and it would become so real to him. God would show him things. He came out of his class as top class in his college. How is that possible? The brains were totally fried. But how is that possible? It's because of the Holy Spirit. No other way could someone just suddenly change. No other pills in the world, no other essential oils, nothing can heal your mind like the Holy Spirit. Amen? From that day on, David was highly favored. He was 15 years old when he was anointed. Between the age of 15 to 19, historians believe, he killed Goliath. He became he had to play the harp for King Saul. He was called to play the harp for the king. See, the evil spirits would come upon King Saul. And when David would play the harp, the Spirit of God, the presence of God would be so real in that room that the evil spirits would leave King Saul. So he would play the harp. And then he became the armor bearer. King Saul liked him so much that he became the armor bearer for the king. And then King Saul made him the captain of 1,000 men. I mean, one thing after another, killing Goliath. I mean, this is God's favor on his life. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit that was so real in his life. But it didn't just happen overnight. It happened a period of 15 years from the time he was anointed to be king to the time that he actually took the throne and became king. It was 15 years. He was 30 years old when he became king. We may be in our 15 years waiting. God anoints you, and then things still doesn't seem to go exactly as you planned. There are still challenges. Of course there will be challenges. Jesus never said it's going to be easy. I mean, look at Paul. He was shipwrecked. I mean, he's doing good work. He's bringing the gospel to people. And he was persecuted. Stephen, the martyr. I mean, doesn't mean that there won't be challenges. But when you have the Holy Spirit with you, you will have the favor of God in your life. And life, your life, would be so dedicated to Him that all the earthly things will not matter as much. Look at things a different way. Your eyes will not see things like how you were seeing things before. When you start to pray, the situation may not change, but you will begin to change. A couple of months back, I believe Pastor Stephen was preaching. A few months back, Pastor Stephen was preaching, and then he said he likes to listen to podcasts of preachers preaching. Why? Because he believed that when he listened to preachers preaching, he will actually grow himself to be a better husband, to be a better father. And that opened my eyes. And I realized, hey, I need to do that because I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better sister. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better friend. And so I started to listen to different sermons online, different people online, and listen to them as I ran and as I prayed and all that. And I believe the situations never changed, but I believe the way I dealt with my kids began to change. The way I dealt with my husband began to change. The way I saw things. When I come down and see the house in a mess, I don't get frustrated. I don't pick on the petty things as much as before. I'm not saying I'm perfect. There's still a lot of flaws. My mom can attest to that. But I believe that when we give more of ourselves to God, God will help us. He will help us. He will bring us through. What I'm saying is this, guys. Be drenched with the Holy Spirit today. In 2 Kings 4, we read the story of Elisha and the widow. And in verse 6, it says, when all the jars were filled to the brim and there wasn't any more left, the oil stopped flowing. God wants to fill us to the brim, to the top. He wants the Holy Spirit to be filled in us to the top. Why? Because when we are filled to the top, there is no room for anything else. There is no room for any nonsense to come in. There is no room for sin. There is no room for depression. There is no room for offense. anymore because we are filled to the brim. Amen? Jesus, when he asked the servants to fill the jars with water at the wedding of Cana, they filled it to the brim. They filled it to the top. I believe that today we need to say, God, come, fill me to the brim, to the top, so there is no more space for anything else other than you in my life. And when God fills you to the top, you will be a better husband. You will be a better wife. You will be a better father, a better brother, a better sister, a better wife, a better person as a whole. Don't you want to be living with a better person? So when you yourself change, then you will see things a different way. The situation may not change, but you have changed. And life will begin to get better. So I want to encourage you this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into your lives today. Actually, let me challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to say, God, help me. Help me be a better person. Help me be just like David. To not be stuck out there in the field, but to say, hey, you have something greater for me. Amen? He sees you. He sees you, what you're going through right now, the struggles that you face, everything that you are going through. He sees you. But despite everything that's going on, he says, I'm choosing you. I choose you today. I'm choosing you to do that. Amen? And he wants to anoint you today. So I hope that this word has spoken to you, that you will learn that it's not all going to be happy, happy, joy, joy kind of a thing. But there will be challenges. But with the Holy Spirit holding your hand and guiding you, because you are worth it, you are worth it. I believe that God is going to do something amazing in your life. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope that you are blessed with today's message. I hope that you will go back and you will apply it to your lives. God bless you. I love you guys. Take care.